Taylor Watch.
Welcome back to another episode of Taylor Watch. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Do you really want to know where I was April 29th?
Happy April 29th.
Where were you April 29th?
Where was I? I always been in the studio.
Yeah, true.
You're
always
see.
In the stew. I think I was coming home
literally
from,
on April 29th.
Yeah.
Like what year? Do we actually know like what April 29th she's referring to?
I guess the year before that.
Before midnights?
Yeah, right?
Or so like
the April before midnights?
I assume.
Yeah, right. 2021. Yeah.
April 29th, 2021. Great question. Let's look and see where I was. If that is the date.
I think April 29th, April 11th.
Do you really?
I think I was like eating.
Was April 29th.
I was in school. Like what? Like drinking with my friends probably. April 27th.
Oh my God, I was on my way to Sarah Beth's wedding.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, I was sweating like a hooker in church. with my Cabo headband on that said "Sex Maniac."
Oh my God, that's hilarious! I love that. Mine. Okay, so I was flying to Espy's wedding, and then the day before, I was at the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
Oh, lovely!
Which, what a coincidence! I'm going today.
Oh,
I'm going later this afternoon. I'm going to the we're peak bloom. Peak bloom at the Botanic Gardens, cherry blossom season, et cetera, et cetera. April 29th, what a stir that song caused.
Mm.
Everybody was trying to, you know, backtrack, do math, do all kinds of shit to see who she might have been with, where she might have been.
Right.
And we've never gotten a confirmation.
Do you really want to, what is it? Chart the constellation. Do you really want to?
Do you really chart the constellations in his eyes?
Yeah, I think as a celebration, everybody should go out. And if you're not a real Swiftie, if you don't go out today and cheat on your partner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. Also, very much kidding.
Oh my God. Wait.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
I was drinking water.
Crack that joke.
I'm literally dying. I never expected you to say that. It was so funny. Oh my fucking God. Yeah,
kidding.
Okay, right. Everyone's homework today is to go out and cheat on your man.
Go out and cheat on your man. It's your God-given right as a woman and as a Swiftie.
As a woman and a Swiftie, yes. That's that. We were given permission.
We talked about that like super briefly, I think with fights.
Holy fuck, that's funny.
Because...
Yeah. I think you're right. She's
like made some sly comments
yes.
about like, you know, stepping out on your man.
I mean, the song Illicit Affairs exists.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? And you know, people can say like it's a made up song about a situation and whatever or something. But I'll tell you something. I don't know if I could. I mean, Taylor Swift's a genius. She's different. It's hard to write something so passionate and with so much feeling and so true, not having experienced it yourself. Like that in itself is a huge talent.
Yeah,
I think.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you can't write two songs, one called High Infidelity and one called Illicit Affairs, and not be like, Well,
there maybe was a little bit of overlap. You know
hey,
what I mean?
Listen, we've
you
all
never
been
know.
There.
We've all been there. The lines are hazy. You know what I mean? Sometimes the lines are hazy, especially when things aren't so serious.
Exactly.
And especially if things are on the outs. Mm. And if you are, in the midst of a
dying relationship.
If you're being lost, you're losing me, then what's going to happen on April 29th? You know
exactly.
I mean? So happy April 29th to all who observe.
Yes.
And go ahead and give High Infidelity a handful of listens today. I know that I listened to it on the way down today, which is very exciting. We have a lot to talk about today. We've got Taylor Swift songs popping up in all of our favorite shows. We've got Travis is golfing again. We've got Taylor seeking justice, or not seeking justice, getting justice with a new AI bill being passed. We've got, what else have we got? We got a lot of shit. Grande's doing some cool shit.
Yeah, we got Beyonce and Katy Perry's tour just started.
Yep.
The Eagles and Trump were talking about Taylor at the White House yesterday.
Shocker.
Yep. Lana at Stagecoach.
Lana at Stagecoach. Yep. Definitely talk about her. Stagecoach in general. I didn't pay too much attention to Stagecoach, but I will say, given the choice between the two, Coachella or Stagecoach, I choose Stagecoach.
Oh.
I think. Just based on the vibes.
Okay.
Music, Coachella. Vibes, Stagecoach.
Okay.
Everything I've seen from it so far looks lovely and like kind of chill. Are you getting a bad
no,
vibes?
No, I just feel like I just would, I just, it's a little too,
yeehaw.
I don't know if I was seeing skewed videos, but you know Brand Flakes, that creator? Yeah. He was posting a bunch about how like it was like MAGA left and right, like people wearing crazy outfits and stuff.
Oh, I hate that. Never
so
mind.
So I just,
That's not what I was seeing. I was seeing like cute girls in cowboy boots and like sitting in the grass and enjoying Luke Bryan
or whatever. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like maybe I was seeing skewed videos because I feel like with what I was saying with Coachella, like, you know, with Coachella, you get like the annoying influencers that like have a stick up their ass, but then like the normal people. So maybe with Stagecoach, you have like the annoying MAGA people.
It's
and
probably
then, like,
the same.
Just like people just trying to enjoy their lives.
That makes total sense. Yeah. That makes total sense.
But
well,
I get what you mean.
Back.
Like, there is nothing better than, I do love a country vibe every once in a while.
I love a country concert.
I love wearing country cowboy boots and chilling, drinking a nice beer like that. That has my name written all over it.
Country concert in the warm weather, summertime.
Yes,
nothing's better. Because they are really low-key vibe more than anything else. Like, I think that I don't feel the need to get up and spin around and dance and sweat my ass off the entire time. Oh, my God. Speaking of, the wedding.
Oh, my God. How did we not even get into it? Talk about the royal wedding.
I have no idea how we did it, but before we do, I just want to preface that I have memories of the royal wedding, but it's very hazy because I was, I think I caught a little amnesia. I think I maybe had a bubble or two. I think maybe I snuggled up to my bestie Pink Whitney during the wedding.
You definitely did.
I think I snuggled right on up to our bestie Pink Whitney, pink vodka, pink lemonade flavored vodka.
Yeah.
Number one in the biz, number one in our hearts, number one in our lives. We love Pink Whitney. But yes, Pink Whitney is here for all of our needs, wedding needs, outdoor needs, friends. If you're at Stagecoach, you should probably have it. If you're going to any festival coming up, Pink Whitney you should have on deck. Walk into a liquor store, buy the 20 shot bucket.
Yeah.
Be the star of your friends. And shoot your shot.
Yeah, totally. You're kind of giving a Pink Whitney vibe today with all the pink.
You know, I'm dressed for the blossoms.
Yes.
So, but it's, yes, I am.
But it's really the perfect, you know, spring cocktail. It definitely fits the vibes. It fits the pre-games with the girls.
Yes.
Yeah, the shots are super easy. They're delicious. So, you know, we were ripping them all night on Friday. And, so make sure you guys are checking out Pink Whitney. We love them. You guys know them. So take your shot with Pink Whitney.
Woo! The wedding was outrageous.
Outrageous.
Absolutely. It was the only way to describe it.
From start to finish, it was just truly so beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Rhea and Fran did a full breakdown of all the table details, the ring, dress, hair, makeup, everything on Chicks in the Office. That episode is already out. You can go ahead and listen for the fine details.
I was dying at Rhea being like, I think Kelly Keyes was under my sister, or my sister was under Kelly Keyes' dress the entire
night. The entire night. How many times did Nicole get under my dress? I would be like standing there, and all of a sudden I'd feel something, and it'd be like, Nicole, under my dress. I'm like, girl, don't go. I'm sweating. Like, I don't know what you want. I have a floor length tool, like little thing here, and it was hilarious.
So funny.
But it all worked out. Everybody looked so hot and so gorgeous. Like, I couldn't get over how good everybody looked.
I still can't get over how good Rhea looked.
Oh my God.
I mean, Francesca put it perfectly, like the Vogue Italia, Dolce & Gabbana, like with the way that the flowers were all set up from Easter, like I was literally like, I'm looking at, like, this is what Kourtney Kardashian dreamed her wedding would look like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. It was the Sicilian Principessa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, dream.
Just so elegant and
it was amazing.
Stunning.
The vows were so good. Yeah. The vows were like mirror images of each other, which was, you know, obviously tearjerker, crying in the church, crying at the reception, crying at the first dance. I've had Miley Cyrus.
Her dad's speech.
Oh my God. The butterfly kisses line.
No.
I can't.
I was like, I have such daddy issues. Like, literally
no,
kill me.
For real. Like, like showing like, emotion is difficult.
Yeah,
yeah. Never. I don't think I've ever done butterfly kisses with my dad.
Never.
I think he'd be like, what?
He'd be like, ew. Yeah. Get away from
100%.
me.
Yeah. He'd be like, shut up. He'd be like, hit me. He'd like toss me a basketball and be like, let's play horse. Okay, fine.
He'd be like, the birds. Like, yeah, okay.
Go birds. Like, literally.
It's so funny.
My dad would be like, oh, have you heard from Dave lately? Yeah. Portnoy. Constantly. But no, it was everything about it was so wonderful. And this is, I had this feeling going into the wedding. So like, I think I described this. I don't know if we were doing the pub. We were definitely doing On the Other Line when I went to my friend Eve's wedding in Mexico City. And I have had, I mean, I've been to a million weddings and I've been to all my best friend's weddings, and you know, I've had an amazing time at all of them, and the love is always filling the room and it always feels great and whatever, but there sometimes there are weddings that are just have a little bit of a different feel in the air. And my other friend's wedding in Mexico City, it felt like, it felt like somebody was pumping air into it like a casino. Like, it was one of those vibes. Yeah. It was like, I have 100% energy. I can't get off the dance floor. Enjoying myself. The food's insane. The people are insane. The love in the room, whatever. And leading up to this wedding, I was like, I think this wedding might be like that again.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought that was like a one-time magical situation. Mm. I think we're going to run up on this again. And it absolutely blew me away. Like, I cannot keep talking, or I cannot express enough, like, the love in the room. Like, it was, you could just feel it. Like, I could have kissed everyone on the mouth. Like, that's how, I had to really chill for a bit, because I was like crying and like hugging everyone, and everybody was like, okay, chill. Like, we're not, like, we're all friends and we've all known each other for a million years. But it was just such a fun, like, I don't know, and just being around everyone that we've known forever here, and then Rhea's family and Matt's family, and it was just, they're just wonderful people.
They're great people.
And I just, like, it was so magical. Like, the cherry blossom trees on the fucking tables, like, I was just, like, I was in a constant state of tears, I felt, the whole time.
It was very emotional. Yeah. I mean, the look on Matt's face when she walked in, like, I'll truly never forget that. And then, like, even before that, like, obviously, like, everyone knows that Matt and Rhea are, like, just meant to be
literally
together.
Soulmates, yeah.
But, like, something about this wedding, I was just, obviously, like, I knew that, but, like, watching them, like, they were so, I just, that was the one thing I really couldn't get over. Like, they were just so excited.
Yeah.
From the second that she walked, the doors opened, like, she had such a big smile on her face. He was freaking out. Like, they kept looking over at each other. They just seemed so, like, giddy and so excited. And, like, it just really felt like this moment of just pure joy and happiness and love. And it was really sweet to watch them look so unbelievably in love.
It's very like they look like little kids with crushes.
What
I mean? Like,
it was
like, they look like grown adults who are married, but they also look like little kids with crushes. Yeah. Like, and I just feel like they will look like that forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's like how they look at each other. And they're just, you know, they're two halves of a whole.
Yeah.
It's rare that you get to see that. And we're very lucky.
Yeah,
we
are very lucky.
To see. And we got to indulge. The food was out fucking outrageous as well.
Oh my God. I ate so much at the cocktail hour. I think I had like 50 oysters.
Oh yeah, please. Every time the oyster went by, I went.
Yeah, no, every time those little tuna on the spoons went by,
the tuna on the spoon.
They were so good.
The tuna on the spoon. I could have eaten. She walked by. There was a full tray of it at one point. I almost grabbed like a handful.
Yeah, no, literally.
All at once. Holy shit. The lobster ravioli.
Lobster ravioli was insane. The pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket. I had a mini ice cream sandwich that rocked my world at one point.
Oh yeah, the freaking the donut cake.
Yeah,
the,
whatever the
Sicilian
hell that was.
Donut cake. That's next level.
Nuts.
Truly next
just
level.
Just absolutely nuts. So shout out to Rhea and Marty for putting on quite the party.
Yes, shout
for,
out
for all of their friends
we
and family.
We are very lucky to be a part of.
Yes, we were.
The story.
Yes, we were.
And you got a little shout out in the vow.
I did get a shout out in the vow.
Yeah,
which is so. I was like dying over that. Marty had said something along the lines. He's like, I'm telling a story that you'll know. Mm. He like didn't tell me exactly what though. But yeah, I lost my shit.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
There was a point where, well, you know, I'm someone who I love to point out when other people are clearly in love with other people. Like, people give eyes all the time, and I'm always watching. Like,
yeah.
I think that's what I love to, like, watch other people.
Yeah,
and, like,
me too.
What
I'm
my favorite thing.
I'm an observer for sure. Yeah,
big time. And when they first started, they weren't even like dating yet. They were still friendly and like whatever, and we were all kind of hanging out. And then there was a point where like the way he looked at her, I said, "You're in love with her." And then everything was after that. But he mentioned that in the vows, and I felt very special to have recognized it. So
yeah,
early.
Of course.
But like I said, you got to just stay watching your friends. You just got to watch people, and
right?
That's how you find out who people are. You watch them,
right? Very true.
It's
yeah, it was really a 10 out of 10 night. It was amazing. I was so unbelievably dead by the end of it.
Oh my God!
Saturday,
I don't think I would love to see like my aura ring on Saturday.
I didn't get out.
I slept the whole day.
We got out of bed once to go get breakfast at the diner, and then we were in bed the whole day. And we were watching The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Which is another exciting thing that we are bringing to the pod. Officially doing Summer I Turned Pretty recaps. Because
yay!
I don't know if you guys... are feeling the chills up your motherfucking spines from the trailer of The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Because we are.
Because we are.
To the max.
The amount of times that the love that I get from Daylight playing and Belly and Jeremiah coming together is basically Rhea and Marty. Like, that's how I felt. Like, that's that kind of energy.
No,
like,
we can't compare we them can't. To them.
No, because, I know. But that's how the no, music right, that's how the music you makes you feel. So anyway, so right. So for those who don't know the show, I mean, it's crazy if you don't. The Summer I Turned Pretty is on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
It is entering its third season.
Yep.
So catch up.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna be talking about
truly
it.
Truly though, if you're a Swiftie, like, you have to watch this show because yes. I honestly think, like, I'm very happy that TJ was like, oh, I'll watch so I can watch season three with you. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't realize how much Taylor Swift is in this fucking show. Like,
she's in it every
episode.
Every episode
there's a Taylor
something.
Swift song or something along the lines. You know, there's like during the volleyball tournament, there's like a Team Swift.
Yep.
There's like always these little like Swifty Easter
Jenny
eggs.
Jenny Han?
Jenny Han is
the author of the books. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they're now turned into a series and she is a massive Swifty.
Yeah.
And then also works with Austin. And it's just kind of become this like vessel of a show that like showcases Taylor's songs, like,
totally.
And it's didn't they last year or last season they had the Taylor's version of something beforehand, right?
Yes, I think it was This Love, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
mistaken.
So too. And then the year before that, it was August they had in the trailer. Like, there's always
there's always something.
People look forward to these trailer drops because there's always Taylor in it. And so that's why this time around we had you know, catch up on the show. We won't get too much into the plot of the show for those who haven't caught up yet. But when does it come out? Like next?
July 16th.
Okay, so you've told. Oh wow, July 16th.
Yeah,
that's an important. That feels like an important day. Somebody. Oh, you know what? That's a clown day. People tweet that at me.
Oh,
it's
really?
A clown day.
July
16th? For like debut for some reason. Oh. I don't know. I don't know the reason.
I mean, it rolls off the tongue pretty well. July 16th.
So you have until then to catch up. But it's essentially just these. You know, it's a young adult type show, romance.
Will
rom-com.
They? Won't they? But yes. It's a love triangle between a girl and her family friend, two brothers. One is like kind of her age, one is 2 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's messy.
It's tremendous.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And it's like the first season was like okay. Mm-hmm. The second season is also actually like good, incredible TV.
It's really good TV, yes. I think that they put out the first season and like weren't sure if
for sure
it was going to take off the way that it did, and then come second season you could see the glow up, you know what I mean?
And it's super intense and like
there's a lot of sadness, there's tears, like there's you know, mother daughter relationships, mother son relationships, friendships, like it's a really well-rounded show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll be definitely breaking it down once it comes out, and but for those who do know about it, the trailer started off playing Daylight by Taylor Swift. And Belly is hanging out with Jeremiah. They're going through their lovey-dovey, kissy-kissy,
mwah-mwah. They're
jumping
they're
around,
dancing.
Twirling, playing sports. They're wearing Greek letters. Who knows what the fuck they're up to. And then it cuts to, loving him is red. And then Conrad! Oh my god.
Oh,
look at my chills. I just spit everywhere also.
I know.
Look at this. Oh my god.
I know. Literally full blown chills.
Oh,
like, I think
my
I watched
god.
That I watched the trailer maybe 50 times.
And probably
like,
more
if
for
you
me,
know the context of the books, like, oh my god, it's such a good movie. Also,
I haven't read the books. I feel like I know I want to, but I feel like I'm too far in the story, like I don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin it for yourself.
So I'll go back and read it though. I'll read that.
People are pointing out, and I think this is true, in the trailer, Taylor sings, loving him is red. But in the song, she says, loving him was red.
But
like, I don't think she ever says, like loving him is red in the original.
Wishing him was dark gray all along. Forgetting him was like trying to know somebody you never met. But loving him was red. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so loving him was red. But loving him was red. Oh, burning red. It never says, but loving him is red. So she must have changed it for the trailer.
For the trailer
because
slash,
loving
like,
Conrad is red.
Loving Conrad is the most red. Like, that's the most red shit I've ever even seen or heard. Did you take a little look-see at my ears today?
They are glistening, glowing, sparkling, shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah, they are. 2.5 carat diamonds set in 14 carat white gold, actually, from our besties at Steven Singer.
Yep. $248
on IHateStevenSinger.com. I don't know if you're aware about that, but another reason I'm showing off these diamonds, one, I wanted to look sparkly for the blossoms, obviously. But two, Mother's Day's coming up, and we keep saying it. We don't want anybody to forget about these things, so we've got the diamonds, and in addition to the diamonds, we have the 24 carat gold dipped roses, the limited edition Blue Moon Rose.
Yes, limited edition. So that means you can only get it for a certain amount of time. And once it's gone, it's gone.
It's
so you're
going
to want to get your hands on this for a special occasion, which is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. You do not want your mother or whoever it is, your parental figure, to be left out on this celebration. So you have to go to Steven Singer's and check out their 24 karat gold dipped roses for Mother's Day. You can skip the flowers that die in a week because Steven Singer's Jewelers signature gold dipped real roses are real dipped in real 24 karat gold and are guaranteed to last a lifetime. Like Kelly said, they have the limited edition Blue Moon Rose. It's so brilliantly bright with diamond-like sparkles, and you can give your mom or whoever it is something that they can look at and remember how loved they are all year long. They also come in an impressive gift box and your own personalized Mother's Day note, so you don't have to worry about all the shebang with all the decorations and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It really is such a great gift because it lasts forever, so you can make a little bouquet out of it with all the different memories, and it's really, really sentimental, really beautiful, captures your eye from a mile away.
Yeah, it does.
So you can order now exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. Hurry, because they will not be restocked and supply is limited. Shipping is always complimentary, which means free, and nothing says I love you like a real authentic Steven Singer 24 karat gold dipped rose that lasts forever. Woo. Only available from Steven Singer's Jewelers in Philly or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Loving him is red.
Yeah.
Perfect way to describe Conrad. And here's what I think though. I'm if she's changing lyrics, if she's doing little things here and there or whatever, like that's like a 2 second thing, pop in the stew.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just do a little is. Also, that could be done with like editing magic.
Yeah,
you know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I guarantee like it wasn't much of a change, but you're right. I do believe.
Definitely an interesting little tidbit, little change.
But, I mean, I think we all know that Belly and Conrad's story is not closed.
Oh, totally not.
So I think is all, you know, yes. Just makes sense for the story as well.
Right.
So, yes, we're very excited about that. In other show news, using Taylor Swift's songs, the new season of You is out, which I've only watched the first couple episodes.
I still can't believe that show is out.
I know. I fell off last season and totally forgot like what happened. I watched the recap and it was fine. I'd really missed nothing. But the whole thing is in the new season, Joe Goldberg is, you know, Dan Humphrey / Penn Bagley.
Yeah, yeah.
Is bringing some girl upstate or whatever. And in the car is playing Guilty as Sin.
Huh.
And it's actually, I think, a very fitting song for You. Like,
oh,
they
yeah,
play
yeah.
it in the right way. Like, they don't, it's not like a creepy version or anything, but the lyrics that they use, it's like, he's obviously
without
guilty.
Without ever touching your skin.
Yes. Like, it's all very skin, you know, written on your thigh, like carved.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
So it, like, it kind of fits. And I thought that was an unexpected but smart plug for that song.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Austin.
Yeah, Austin Swift. I mean, everyone was swiping up when I posted the trailer. I was like, Austin Swift, you did it again. Everyone was swiping my story. Like, what does Austin Swift have to do with it? I was like, oh, you guys are all fake.
I saw you put that. I saw you say if you listen to Taylor Watch, you would know.
You would know that he's in charge of her music licensing.
Mm-hmm. As far as we know.
As far as we know. I mean, when you like look it up, like that's like what it says.
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, oh, I think so. So like,
and no one's ever said that's incorrect.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
You know what I mean? People, in fact, we've like learned this information through other people. It's not like we made this up or whatever. So
anytime
so
you guys hear like a Taylor Swift song in anything, like usually
a show,
what we're assuming
commercial.
Is it has to go through Austin Swift before it gets approved.
You gotta go through Austin and get it in your show.
Gotta go through me first.
Gotta go through me. Gotta go through bro.
Yeah, you exactly.
Little
bro.
Little bro.
Little bro. Yeah.
Needs to make sure shit's going down in the right way.
Yeah,
and we appreciate
and perfect, perfect choices for Summer Rides and Pretty and You. But yeah, using Daylight is just chef's kiss.
Yeah, it really is.
And especially like knowing what we know now about Lover and all that stuff. And Jenny Han like posted on her story like something about like Jeremiah getting Daylight because like it's about delusion.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Someone said like diabolical of Jenny Han to put it after Taylor put Daylight on the delusional playlist which like one day let's for homework for ourselves one day I would love to go back and go through those playlists that she made again.
Yeah,
because I feel like we went through them forever ago.
I have the Denial one and I have the
look, you haven't printed on there
Anger. I think that's all I have, though.
Cool. I think not today, but I think that we, because I'm so curious to now go through with a new light. You know what I mean? Because all that came out, that was last year as well.
Yeah.
And we didn't really do that as a part of our mini deep dive for TTPD.
Well, I mean, like, Lover and Sweet Nothing is on denial.
So that's, you know what I mean? So that's interesting. But yeah, I would just love to break those down again. That's
for sure.
Fun and fresh new eyes. Other things happening in the Taylor world, Taylor adjacent, for those who remember, which I'm sure you do, there was that that AI snafu, to put it lightly, a year ago, I guess now?
I want to say, maybe a
was
year
it
ago.
Even a year?
Like, probably less than that, honestly. Yeah. I feel like it was during the Chiefs season.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Where there were disgusting AI images being shared on Twitter. It was only Twitter, I think, right? Like, I don't
probably.
Think it really went anywhere else.
Yeah.
But it was obviously it was gross, disgusting, horrible. Also bad images of Travis, of all the Chiefs players, like Pat Mahomes, like a lot of bad things, like shitty stuff and you know, shit we did not like. And it all got taken down. But now the reason we're bringing that up, because in the wake of that, alongside a lot of other people who had fallen victim to something like that, on a grand scale and on a much smaller scale, like regular day-to-day people, and also people like Melania Trump is backing this bill, which that's how you know it's bad, when you've got everybody in agreement on something like this. And it's called the Take It Down Act, and it's put into effect to prevent people from posting AI images that depict these bad things, like pornographic or vulgar or violent or whatever.
Yeah.
And those images will be taken down if they're posted, and the posters will face consequences, which previously there weren't any consequences really for AI use. And a lot of people, you know, they have these fake ass accounts. It's like nobody's real, whatever. But at this point, I think it's like you start tracing IP addresses and you start bringing the hammer down, and the government's knocking on your fucking door and taking your computer away, low-key.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's about time, I feel like.
For real.
I do feel like when stuff happens to Taylor, like, it kind of gets a expedited shipping on an outcome, which is great because, you know, we see this not only with Taylor, but with, like, young kids in high schools, and we talked about this before, and, like, just in general, it's a very scary thing. It happens with celebrities all the time. It happens with normal people.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it feels like AI, in this case, obviously, I'm not an AI fan at all, but especially in this case, it's just too far. Like, no one's identities or anything should be messed with, or it could be potentially so, like, in bad, like, incriminating. Like, people think that you did something that you just didn't do because people can't understand that it's fake, that it's not real. And these things are so realistic.
Yes.
It's insane, these deep fakes. Like, it's truly, truly scary.
It's baffling. And you have to think about the people who, like, maybe you and me can recognize an AI image, right? But you have to think of the people who aren't as chronically online as the rest of us.
Yeah.
And who don't necessarily know what that is. Or the boomers on Facebook, or, like, you know, whatever. The amount of texts I get from aunts, my parents, whoever, sending me shit from Facebook that's literally fake. Like, it's, I'm like, that is the fakest shit I've ever seen. And they genuinely believe it's real. And I'm like, that's not their fault, though. This happened overnight. All of a sudden, all this, like, AI shit's so realistic. But the main thing, and I'm glad you just brought it up, that I think that this will be like a trickle down effect when it comes to AI, because I think that, yes, celebrities, you know, being targeted, that's one thing. But really, the issues are in these schools. Like, that's where this whole thing kind of started, where there were girls being bullied in high schools in New Jersey, actually, and this in North Plainfield or something.
Yeah,
if you look this up, it's horrible. And these, like, boys, you know, kids, whatever, they're making AI images of their classmates, underage classmates, in, you know, pornographic states, and sharing it around the school, humiliating them. Like, it was just that kind of shit. And AI itself, we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. Like, I think it's clear it's not going anywhere. Everyone is really dependent on it all of a sudden. It feels like overnight everyone's dependent on it.
It's just so weird. Like, everyone's like, let's ask ChatGPT. I'm like, why can't we just fucking use, like, we've all used Google for the past million
years. It's crazy.
It's
crazy. And also, too, it's not even just people using it day to day on their phones. Businesses are using it and implementing it and encouraging their employees to do the same and making business models around it and using it to drive their business and whatever. And I'm sure that it's useful in certain ways to some people, but because it's growing so big, so fast, it's so unpredictable still, and people are addicted to it already.
Yeah.
Like, it's the fastest I've seen people get addicted to something, like faster than TikTok. You know what I mean?
Because it's immediate gratification.
Exactly. And so this domino, I think, about this will be the first of many to fall when it comes to AI regulations. And I think that it's a good thing.
Well,
something needs to go down. We need regulations on AI itself and what it depicts and what you can make and how because you can make anything. We also need to find out, we need the scientists getting to work on how to make it so it's not, you know, you're pouring out a bottle of water every time you type, what's my name in ChatGPT? You know what I mean? Like, I'm very concerned about the environment. Like, I feel like nobody's worried about that part of it all. Like,
it's the number one, and it's like, it's...
People just pretend like it. They're like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
They have these, like farms.
Yes.
And
right.
They just, these, like, computer
their
farms.
Server. They're,
yeah,
they're,
like, server farms.
They're server farms. And they already existed.
Suck in so much energy. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. And they have to cool them down because they work so fast and they get so hot.
Yes.
So, they like, you need to use water. Like, it's the worst thing for the environment right
now. Yes. They turn water into... Okay, so... They've got these server farms. They're all over the place. They're mostly in the center of the United States because that's where they have all the open land.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not around any oceans or whatever. So they're depleting reservoirs and rivers and things. Not even kidding.
Yeah.
And they use this water to... as like an energy source.
Yeah.
You know, you turn water into energy, and that's how they're cooling down these server farms and whatever. And the problem is that they're so overused that they need so much coolant for it. And that's what's happening with that. You know, if people are curious about that, I feel like we've definitely talked about this before, but I think it's nuts that, that is the only way to like use AI. And it's just, you got to find a better way. Like because again, like in my head, it's like, yeah, stop doing that shit.
Yeah.
But clearly people are not stopping doing
it. By 2030, you know what I mean? Data centers are expected to reach 35 gigawatts of power consumption annually, up from 17 gigawatts last year. It's crazy.
It's so nuts. It's really hard to wrap your head around that
It is, because
regardless,
like,
you know, so
one of the crazy things too is they just literally put up an ad in front of my apartment that says, it's an ad for AI, and it says stop hiring humans.
Yeah, no, they're everywhere.
And
they're on the
a human
West Side
to put
Highway
that up.
Too. I know.
Like, it's fucking crazy.
They're on the West Side
it's
Highway.
It's really scary, and it's sad. And even Travis, like, they were talking about it on New Heights. Travis was like, or Jason was like, oh, they have this new AI thing, blah, blah. And Travis, the media was like, I'm out on AI. Clearly, it affects them.
Completely.
It affects a lot of people in a really negative way. And, like, there are a lot of good things to come from it, I think, like, medically wise and, like, research and stuff like that. But, yeah, there's got to be more regulations and stuff. And this bill, I just realized this, it only got passed by the House. So it still has to go to Trump's desk to get signed.
Okay.
As a law.
Interesting. All right.
So we'll see how Donnie does.
Well,
on that
when we
one.
Broke down when they broke down the votes, only two people voted against it, and everybody else. Which, who the fuck is voting against a bill like this?
Some.
Well, you know
Republican.
What? You know who it is. It's two Republicans. I said, but the problem is, or two people who, you know, again, who identify as Republicans and are probably not
Thomas Massey. Representative Thomas Massey is one of the guys that took it down.
The angle,
I'm voting no because I feel this is a slippery
it's freedom
slope
of speech, right?
Right,
it's
for abuse with unintended consequences.
So the people that are against regulating AI are, number one, perverts. Number two, they also they use free speech as their reason. They're like, well, this is against free speech. We should be able to do what we want. It's like, actually, this isn't free speech for you at all. This is the robot's free speech.
Yeah.
Are you sticking up for the robot's free speech right now? Because I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Like, it's just, I am so, there's so much to unravel about AI, and I am now trying to just shift my mindset to understanding it more than just blindly hating it, because I really do think that it's going nowhere. And I am very happy to see that people are taking it seriously when it comes to regulations, especially when it's like pornographic stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's my biggest fear is like AI, first of all, AI making it look like I'm, you know, doing something like that.
Yeah.
Or like murdering someone or like fucking, you know, I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
You never know. Like people are psychotic or like just this stuff. Sometimes you don't need to see certain things depicted. You know what I mean? Like you don't always need to see, like you don't need to see a murder. You don't need to see
1,000%
those things. And it's like, that's why, yeah, it is. It's a slippery slope in the other way.
Yeah.
Representative What's-Her-Face. Yeah. Like, I don't even know who the fuck you are, but yeah, regardless.
It's happy very for, scary.
Happy that this, hopefully that this will cut down in the case of celebrities and people online.
And hopefully since Melania backed it, that means Trump
that people will just have,
that means Trump will sign it.
That would be so fucked up. I would divorce.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Well,
but I'd
I think
be like,
also
enough.
Because people always joke about Melania being like AI and like being
fake.
So I think that's why she's so like, for it
could be who knows who
she's
knows
like, I'm
why
a real
she
girl
yeah she's like I swear I'm a real girl yeah whatever well speaking of Trump did you want to talk about the Eagles a little
yeah,
bit
yeah I did actually
I have no my thoughts are short and sweet. I rolled my eyes when Trump said Taylor Swift, how'd that go for her, someone called the Super Bowl, and I moved along. I cannot waste a minute of thought on him.
I'm in the same boat in that aspect of the fact that the taunting, whatever you want to call it, that he said at the White House was so stupid. I think it's funny almost that he is so like entranced by her. Like he just can't get,
well,
he's
anybody.
Like an ex that he can't, she's like an ex that he can't get over.
Completely. It's any like, op, any of all of his ops. He's obsessed with them.
But
he's
especially
with
Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
like,
he really
it's,
loves
it really,
her.
She, I
you
don't,
know what it is though? It's not Taylor. It's what she represents. And that's what makes it
no,
upsetting.
Totally. But like that's it why is also like, her, I think too. Like, because she, you know, she's this huge pop star. I think he like thought that maybe if he like said some nice things about her, like maybe she'll do something nice. And when she backed Kamala, I think that really grinded his gears.
No, absolutely. But that's what I mean. Like that to him, it's not Taylor Swift, the person necessarily. It's the fans of Taylor that she's influenced to hate it. Like that he cares about, like if one person's talking shit about him, that means that more people are talking shit about him that like that person that's talking shit about him. And Taylor Swift has a lot of those people. You know what I mean? So it's like, he knows it'll get, he'll say shit about Taylor Swift because he knows it'll piss off people like us. It will invigorate those who hate her and women.
Yeah.
And he gets to have a little snide buddy buddy boy, you know, bro comment about it. Like that's, it's a win-win for him.
Yeah.
In his eyes. You know,
it's just ironic or hypocritical, should I say, because he was rooting for the Chiefs during the Super Bowl. So if you took an L there too.
The
so it doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
And you know, I really did not like that, you know, all the guys in the back fucking what's his face, Dallas Goedert and Saquon and Howie, they're all laughing in the back, like, when he makes a joke. I'm like, you know, Dallas, like, Travis, like...
Wait, were
was
they
a,
in the background of when he made the Taylor Swift joke?
Yeah. All of them laughed. I know. It's like Travis, like, mentored Dallas Goedert. Like, it's just so sad. And Saquon,
that's really
like,
disappointing.
Spoke out
I didn't
about,
see that. I only saw the close-up of Trump. Like, I didn't see anything
Saquon,
else.
Like, spoke out about how, like, the booing at the Super Bowl was awful, all this stuff. And then, you know, like, then you guys all, like, are buddy-buddy with Trump, laughing at his stupid jokes because he knows what he's doing. Like, what we were saying before, like, he knows bringing up Taylor's going to piss people off. Mm-hmm. He's so insecure that he truly can't help himself, so he has to make a joke about her, whatever, because she literally lives rent-free in his brain. It's crazy. A 35-year-old woman lives in a 74-year-old's brain like that. But yeah, I just hated seeing them all laughing. And
I hate that. I didn't
see
the laughing.
Was annoying. And you know, there's so many things about the Eagles going to the White House that, you know, there's a lot of discourse about it right now because, you know, Travis got a lot of hate when he was talking about how it would be an honor to go to the White House, blah blah blah. People were like, and I think I said like not the best PR answer in my opinion, but like, what are you going to do? It's the Super Bowl. Why are you even being asked about that right now?
It was crazy he was even asked. I thought he did the best that he could do in that moment. And also like, people have to remember that there are safety elements to this. Like, you can't like Travis Kelce 2 days before the Super Bowl when fucking Trump's going to be there isn't going to be like, fuck Trump, I'm not going to the White House.
Yeah.
You're not going to say that.
Yeah.
Like, and he's also never going to say that publicly.
Also,
he's never going to say it.
One of the qualms of being an NFL fan is sometimes you have to root for dickheads.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, with the CJ Gardner Johnson thing, and, you know, the Chiefs have a lot of people on their team that have stirred the pot. Harrison Bucker, you know, what's his face?
Yeah, not all the guys in the Chiefs are great guys.
No, like, totally not.
In fact, but a lot of them are bad.
Yes.
Like, I mean.
And that's the case for all NFL teams. Like, that's the NFL really prioritizes talent over morals or
personality
or abuse, should I say, like domestic
literally
fucking
everything.
Abuse and shit.
Well, that's why, you know, when all the stuff, all the conversations about the NFL started and Taylor's dating a football player and whatever, and I'm over here talking mad shit, being like football players are scumbags, and everybody was up my ass about it. And I was like, yeah, of course. Okay. Travis is the exception, but who else?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We could probably 10 guys in the NFL who are probably like really good guys that we've heard about.
Yeah.
Everybody else is in fucking jail, arrested, drunk driving, beat their girlfriends up, like everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not.
Yeah, think women belong in the kitchen.
Literally.
Like, it's all.
It's
a vast realm of different types of people.
It's not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I don't love the NFL.
No.
Like, I really don't.
That's what I think people are. I think, you know, Swifties online are kind of having a hard time understanding is that, like, all teams kind of have bad apples. There isn't just the Eagles. It isn't just the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the case of, like, Saquon, like, he was so buddy-buddy with Trump. So people were like, oh, where's this energy for Saquon that people had with Travis?
Yep.
And I agree. Like,
yeah.
After yesterday, I was like, I mean, obviously, if he scores a touchdown, I'm going to be like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
But, like, it sucks to see. And it's just, like, so lame, in my opinion, to be like, oh, it's not political. Like, I'm just playing golf. It is political because you're with the president.
Yeah.
Ipso facto. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just disappointing. But I will say, a lot of my favorite players were not there. Majority of the team were not there. Jalen Hurts wasn't there. AJ Brown wasn't there. Devontae Smith wasn't there. Yeah.
Were they like, did they say what? Like, were they making a statement?
Jalen Hurts had scheduling conflicts.
Obsessed with that.
Yeah.
How about Jalen blushing with Gail?
Oh, I know. That was
video
so funny.
Was so cute.
Well, Gail was like,
at the Time 100.
Yeah.
Time 100, Gail King, who, you know, she's still on our shit list, but she did go up to. That was Jalen, right?
Yeah.
She went up to Jalen Hurts at one point to like say hi, and Jalen like turned around and like full blush. Like, I've never seen a man blush like that.
It was so cute.
It was so cute.
But so you know, I'm glad I got my AJ Brown jersey, my Super Bowl AJ Brown jersey. I almost got a Saquon one, so I'm glad I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still an Eagles fan, still gonna root for the Eagles.
Yeah, of course.
What are you gonna do?
And that's the thing too, is like, you know, unless if you want to like tiptoe, and this is I don't want it to come out sounding in a way where people are going to think I'm like a dumbass or something. Like, if you're going to root, if you're going to like football, if you're going to like certain things, if you're going to hang out with certain people, sometimes politics is going to cross your paths, and you either have to not care and not let it bother you, or you have to take a stand and like stop being friends with those people.
Yeah.
So like, if you are really upset by the Eagles people, that whoever is on the Eagles who went to the White House, and you're surprised that people went to the White House because they won the fucking Super Bowl, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked
that fucking like God fearing Cooper DeGene, he like literally is like this crazy, you know, like, I'm not shocked that these guys are going to the White House. Was I sad? Yeah, for sure. Like,
but they'll all justify it in the way of, they'll like, say
oh,
that.
It's,
they'll say
it's
the president. That's an honor. And that is true.
Yeah.
We just happen to have a president that we don't like.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, you know, I bet last year the Chiefs are going, and I'm sure Biden haters were like, I can't believe they're going to the White House to talk to Biden. You
yeah,
know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
Like, there's, it's always, you know, it's all about perspective when it comes to that. But you have to, like, stand for what you believe in, and then don't sweat Cooper DeGene and fucking Saquon, buddy with Trump. That sucks, but you're still going to bet on them in at DraftKings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I want to make one point, and this is for my Eagles fans.
Mm-hmm.
So hypocritical of Lane Johnson to show up, I think, because he's such an advocate for mental health, and they just cut the funding for the suicide hotline. Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles Foundation, the Eagles philanthropy is the Eagles Autism Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have RFK telling us that fucking autism is caused by vaccines,
I like literally can't
making this
that.
Disgusting rhetoric about people with autism.
It's craziest
so hypocritical
shit I've
of Jeffrey
seen.
Lurie and the Eagles Foundation. It's just crazy. So I was just, that's just like what makes me mad. It's like, if you stand up for something, back it up. Yes. And if you know that these people are cutting funding for fucking autism awareness, like, fuck you. Like, I don't understand how that's helping us at all.
That's a crazy thing.
But yeah, so that's just, I just want to make that point. I just thought it was hypocritical of some of our players and the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's a press opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whatever. Roll your eyes. That's it.
And yeah, it's like, I do feel for Taylor in these situations because it's like, why does her name have to keep being brought up in terms of politics and stuff like this? You know, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Trump rooted for the Chiefs and he's still bringing up her name. It's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's gotten to the point where like you have to take it with a grain of salt and you have to take it through the lens of he's only doing this to piss people off.
Yes.
He's only doing this to create more divide.
Yes.
So yeah, you just,
that's why I know I forget when, how long ago, I feel like I bring it up all the time, but I have adapted the, with him specifically and like that kind of shit. Obviously there's like, you know, the real issues you care about.
Yeah.
Other things with him playing games or whatever, I roll my eyes and ignore it. Like, yeah. I think that is the only, how do you deal with bullies? How do you deal with freaks? How do you deal with people you don't like? You pretend they don't fucking exist.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's very effective.
Yeah.
Like, there is not a single person in my life that I haven't cut out cold turkey that I've ever spoken to or seen again, because that's it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to do that, you can do it.
Yeah.
And I think you should. It's too much to burden. It's too much for every single person to burden to be so concerned with this. And I hope that Taylor adapts this mindset as well.
I hope
she has to ignore it. Who gives a fuck what he says and does? He's embarrassing.
I really hope she thinks to herself, like, this guy.
Oh, she laughs. Oh, she thinks
it's
funny.
This guy's obsessed with me.
Yes.
He knows that I have more power and more influence, and he takes that as a threat. He doesn't like that I empower women and young girls and all these different types of people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he sees me as a threat to his presidency or whatever it is, his ego. I don't even know what it is.
It's his ego.
And,
always.
Yeah, I would take that as somewhat
he used to be. He's a fan. He's a fan, by the way.
Yeah.
He used to be like, I like Taylor Swift's music. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, I don't like her. Liar. Like, he's a liar.
He's he's like one of those like stalkers that like hate their, you know, they're like so in love with.
Oh, like that guy. Yeah, so they start hating them.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's that guy? Everyone's always talking shit about him now. He used to be a massive Swiftie and now he like makes videos. He's like a popular YouTube guy. Gia, after I forget if I talked to, I talked about it a little bit, I think. The celebration of life for my Nana at the Orchid Show. I had such a lovely time and I took so many pictures of the orchids, and I'm also looking forward to going to see the blossoms today and taking so many photos. And the good news is I've set up my aura frame and I have decided that my aura frame from here moving forward is going to hold photos of flowers.
Perfect.
So every photo of flowers from the Orchid Show, every photo of flowers I'm going to get from the Botanic Gardens. I also slipped a couple of family photos in
there.
Love
that.
Which I love. But I have it up on my little, countertop thing that I have like my bar stools at. I have it up there and it just flashes beautiful photos all day long, and I'm obsessed with these frames. I think these frames are amazing. They're really good family gifts.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough that Aura sent a few of us in the office these frames, and as soon as we see an Aura frame show up at work, everyone's like, oh, sick, yes, thank God, like, this is amazing.
Yes.
Because it really is fabulous. And it's one of those digital frames that you download an app, you can upload photos to the frame from your app. Your family members can also upload photos to your frame, to their frames. It can be a shared collaborative experience. It's really, really fun and exciting and engaging, and a great way to showcase all of your photos that are on your camera roll or on your digital camera or just somewhere that you want them displayed. But sometimes you don't have enough room for 5,000 photos, but you certainly do on your Aura frame.
Yep, exactly. So Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and featured in 495 gift guides last year. And also, this is a great gift for Mother's Day, because what a better gift than giving your mom the gift of so many different memories.
My mom loves her Aura frame. My mom has Aura frames in every room of the house. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Like, obsessed.
And
with
every
the Aura
single
frame.
Time that you have a date with your mom, a going out, a memory, you can upload those photos through the Aura frame. So if you're missing your mom, you can send her a picture. Your mom can send you a picture of her, whatever it is. It's so great. TJ and I use it for long distance stuff. We always put in photos in the Aura frames. It's so great. Like, sometimes I just stare at my Aura frame and watch the pictures go by, and it's just really nice to see all the memories that you have together.
I bet you got anchovy in there.
Oh, so many pictures of anchovy, because there's never enough pictures of anchovy, so the only way to do it is through an Aura frame. So the next time you need to call your mom, you can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you've been telling her about right from your phone. It's really such a great gift for Mother's Day, and Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off plus free shipping on their bestseller Carver Matte Frame. That's A-U-R-A Frames, promo code TaylorWatch, and support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
He was pro Swifty, went to like a listening session.
Secret session.
And now makes videos talking shit. Like, they're not always talking shit, but he's like a well-known dude.
Oh, I don't know. Swiftologist?
Swiftologist.
He's controversial, but...
Yeah, what do you think about him? I can't tell from Twitter. I've never seen his things. They all fucking hate him.
I know. They really like, do he's hate him. I think... He's kind of a hate, like, he definitely has his hater pants on tight with a belt strapped on tight.
Okay.
But sometimes I respect his takes.
Okay.
Because I do feel like he has a good eye of, like, seeing the realism behind, like, the industry and...
How does he describe it in, like, a normal way?
Yes.
And the Swifties just go... The Twitter Swifties, I should say.
I think...
Just go crazy about it?
You know...
The way they talk about him, it sounds like he logs on and is like, fuck this bitch, like, hate her now. That's how they talk about
him. I wouldn't say that. I think he's very critical. Like,
sure.
To the point where I think people take his criticisms as dislike.
Yeah, okay.
But I think, in my opinion, he's a little too critical. I'm like, all right, it's not that deep.
Well, that's what everybody says. Everyone's like, he's a little too much.
Yeah. But sometimes his takes on other artists, should I say, I agree with more. Like, he had this take about... Tate McRae and the whole Morgan Wallen thing that I agreed with. It's just like, he was just like, it just doesn't make sense for her path right now. And it feels like manufactured almost, doesn't feel authentic. And I agree with
totally
that.
Totally agree. Yeah.
But yeah, he's abrasive. You know, he comes off very harsh and very strong. And I think...
Do you think I'd like him? Because usually I like people like that.
I think you would have the same stance as me. Like, sometimes you're like, okay, I can see where he's coming from. And sometimes I'm like, all right, like, you're just, you kind of have your hater pants on too tight.
Sure. Okay.
Like, not everything has to be so criticized. Also, I also, literally, I think 2 hours ago or maybe yesterday, I was watching a video on him. He was talking about Hit Me Hard and Soft.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that, like, it was nothing new from Billy and it was like, it was boring, all this stuff. And I was like, I disagree so hard.
Yeah,
I thought
it
was such a good album.
Okay,
all this
stuff. His name is Swiftologist, but he's a music.
Yeah,
he talks about everyone.
He talks about everyone. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I don't know why that came up. I totally forget.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Regardless, whatever. Let's move on past these dumbasses. And I will say this, Travis. He's anti-AI. We love him for that. And he is busy golfing.
He's busy.
No one's golfing more than Travis Kelce right now.
Really?
Like, he's just golfing up a storm.
He really is golfing.
He's doing a little golf tournament in Vegas with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Which, first time I've seen Justin Timberlake in a while, kind of getting some love, being normal, being nice.
Yeah, people were actually being like, ooh, I think
the tour is over.
Travis, it's not going to ruin the tour. It's not going to ruin the world tour.
Yep.
Justin,
he's got something. What's up with his under eyes?
I think he's kind of going through it.
Of course he's going through
it.
He's been going through it.
Right.
He got a DUI in the Hamptons. He said this is going to ruin the tour, the world tour.
I kind of have some tea on him.
Wait, and then, I want to hear the tape, but remember the first fucking tour and he came down and his thing
and
he's like,
penis
how
out.
Light is penis?
Yeah, his like bulge was out.
Oh my
god.
Like, and it was a bad bulge looking. Like,
yeah.
And again,
it was a tiny little bulge.
It was just a bad look. It was a really bad look.
Yeah.
And like, that's how he started the tour. And the tour was in fact ruined. And like, I'm sure people went and had a great time. I have no idea about the tour at all. But
yeah, I wonder if
he's got something going on with his under eyes that I think he has filler in his under eyes. Like, because there's bags, but they're filled in, and so they're, like, raised, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he has, like, dark under eyes, so he's, like, trying to get them.
I mostly was looking because I'm like, that looks like a botched version of what I want. So, like, we'll see.
Right.
But also, I mean, I can't talk shit about him being old. Like, that's actually fucked up.
Yeah.
I should take it back.
I wonder what the general public's opinion on him is. I feel like it's kind of 50-50.
You know,
like,
that everyone's out on him after all the Britney stuff. Everyone thinks people have totally turned heel, turned around thoughts on him because
I totally forgot about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
After, he made her get an abortion.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that went down with them when they were both young.
They were young, yeah.
I think that the problem though is that he capitalized off their breakup and made it seem like she was
a
bitch
crazy,
and cheated on him and was a fucked up bitch, you know, whatever. And in reality, none of that was true. And in her, it was in her book or whatever.
Came
out that she like detailed all this, and he basically had no.
I don't think he said anything about it.
Yeah, he really didn't say much. He just got dragged, and it was kind of like a long time coming for him, because I think that even at the time, like, watching those interviews back and stuff, like, it was so fucked up. And the way he talked about Britney was as if he was like, scorned lover, and like,
What, Janet Jackson Super Bowl?
Well, that was crazy too.
Literally
that,
assaulted though, her on stage.
No, but that was a. I watched that live. That was like a planned bit that didn't go right. That's what the official story is. But Janet has said that, and then she's kind of backtracked too. Like, when that happened, she was like, "No, me and Justin wanted to do that. We planned to do that. That's why I was wearing a pasty. Like, she had like a sparkly thing on her titty. Like, she wouldn't have that under her outfit if she wasn't pulling her. So, but then years later, she, after all the negative press it gave her, Janet said that that was a bad idea. She wished that they didn't do. But it wasn't. No, he didn't like assault her. That was a planned shock moment during the Super Bowl that went south.
Like,
it was just not a good. I remember when that happened. I was so confused by what happened. I remember my dad being like, "Hell ho!" Like, when it happened. And I didn't even know. I was like, what was that? Like, it didn't even look like her boob. Like, it was a crazy.
What was that?
It was a one big pasty. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. But that was, oh my God, they talked about that. Nothing has ever been talked about more than Justin Timberlake. And that also, too, like, they positioned that to look like it was all Janet's idea and Justin was caught in the crosshairs. And I do think there was some truth to that.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little bit of, it was a little collaborative. But no, Justin caught heat for the Britney stuff. What's your tea about Justin?
Last year.
Oh, yeah.
I went on a date and I saw him at the White Horse Tavern, and he was not with Jessica Biel.
Ooh.
He was with a lot of young women, young blonde women, getting very cozy.
Of course.
And I said, what are you doing in the city on a Wednesday night?
What is he doing at the White Horse Tavern?
I guess the waiter told me that he has a business partner that owns the White Horse Tavern.
Okay.
So I guess he has a business partner that like owns a bunch of restaurants and stuff in the city.
Yeah.
And I was like, you have a wife and children at home, sir.
And what's happening here?
And what's White happening Horse Tavern, here? For Jessica Biel.
For those who don't know, in New York City, White Horse Tavern is like a frat bar.
Like,
it's like they've got good food, to be fair.
Yeah.
But
It's
age like 21 to 29.
Yeah,
like if you're
totally.
Old, like I went there recently and I was too old to be there. Like
it was a hot spot for the young New York
for
City
the youths.
Kids. Yeah, for sure.
Great place if you're a youth.
For sure.
But the youths.
Hello, my fellow kids.
Hello, fellow kids. But it's certainly not a place I'd expect Justin Timberlake to be.
Nope,
that's why it's so weird.
And awe. And confusion, and then disgust when I saw his entourage. He was also with Joey Fatone.
What a group.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Crossing the aisle. Oh, no. Joey's an NSYNC.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say.
For a second,
I got
like,
it wrong because
boy.
It definitely was an NSYNC guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Joey.
That makes sense. Yeah. What else is Joey up to? You know what I mean? He's definitely at the bar with Justin.
At the White Horse Tavern.
But so anyway, Travis is golfing. People were up in arms a little bit because I guess Travis took himself down to the casino with everybody that was at the golf thing, Justin included, and they're having fun. But everyone was like, where's Taylor? I was like, Travis is... We gotta stop asking where's Taylor when Travis is concerned.
Like, God
they're
forbid,
fine. He's
you
going
have a
out.
Life outside your partner.
Also, Travis Kelce can walk around. Like, he can walk around differently than Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift can't just show up to a fucking casino and gamble with Justin Timberlake. Travis can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's gonna do it. Why wouldn't he? And if Taylor wanted to do it, she'd make it happen. But she's not. So everybody just needs to stop.
Yeah, and you know, they have separate lives. Like, they're not gonna spend every second of every moment together. And
if they do,
like, it's not gonna really be in the public eye because, unfortunately, that just can't happen.
Can't happen.
So, yeah, I just feel like that's a common thing we talk about on the show. And I feel like I was talking about that this weekend, actually, because I was talking about Gracie Abrams and Paul Mescal.
Yes.
They just posted someone posted a picture of them together.
Yeah.
Because TJ and I were talking about if they're still together or not. And I was like,
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if a celebrity couple isn't photographed together in the span of like 2 weeks, people just automatically assume that they dumped each other. And it's just like, just because they haven't had a picture together in a little bit does not mean that they're broken up.
Right.
And I feel like Gracie Abrams and Paul Mescal, they're like the number one proprietor of that. Every week I see an article like Gracie Abrams and Paul Mescal, they're done, whatever.
Splitsville.
And it's all it's like an insider source says they haven't been photographed together in a week. Like, okay, maybe because Paul's on Broadway and Gracie is like blowing up.
She's performing at the fucking, at every award show that'll have her.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, she's at every single award show. I am going to call for death to every inside source.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like enough with the inside sources. These aren't real inside sources. Like, that's another thing. I feel that we do this all the time unintentionally, but I would like to officially name it.
Mm.
We're constantly educating those on media literacy, and it's true. Important, and we're doing important work because if you are someone who has a hard time figuring out what's real and what's fake, we are here to tell you what's real and what's fake. And I think that, that the inside source 9 times out of 10 is fake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So again, we have our trusted sources. Entertainment Tonight, T-Pain, trusted source. Yeah, trusted source, T-Pain, trust.
Entertainment Tonight, People Sometimes.
It's a big, you know, you use context clues, you find out what's going on, and you can figure out what's going on. But a good example of this, of what's real, what's fake, and I'm honestly struggling myself where it comes to media headlines, etc. Right now, all week long, everyone's talking about how Travis may or may not have unfollowed Ryan Reynolds on Instagram.
Yeah,
and Gia, can we stop stalking who's following who and who's unfollowing
who
on Instagram?
I just don't understand because it's like, how are we supposed to keep track if that's true or not? It's like, who's like constantly checking if Travis is following or unfollowing
who
people?
Who cares also? It's
because
Instagram.
I keep seeing like people being like, you know, he didn't unfollow him. He was never following him to begin with. And then someone was like, no, he was following him in 2023. And then they unfollowed.
No, Ryan followed him.
Yeah.
That was like a big news thing. So it was like, Ryan follows Travis. But like, I don't know if Travis followed him back but like, again, can I just be so real and say who the fuck cares if he follows him on Instagram or not?
Instagram makes no sense.
That tells you nothing about their real life relationship, okay? It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think like maybe 5 months from now, we hear that there's this big falling out with the friendships and yes, all the headlines were right and whatever. And in that case, we'll eat crow. But at this moment, I'm done listening to the headlines and the graphics and the bullshit of celebs unfollowing other celebs and pretending like it means something.
Yeah.
I just can't keep doing that because I think it's a waste of everyone's time. It's a waste of like of energy. It's a waste of caring.
People use it to boost their own rhetoric or their own narrative. Yeah. So now people are using this to like boost this narrative that Blake and Taylor hate each other and Travis, you know, unfollowed Ryan because Taylor has beef with them and he's not going to be associated with them because they're not friends anymore. Blah blah blah. And it's just, no one knows that that's true or not. No one knows what the real story is. I mean, people like just came out with an article like last week, 2 weeks ago, being like, Taylor and Blake are fine. Like, there's no problems, whatever. So it's like, none of us know what's real, what's not real. No one knows if Travis unfollowed Ryan yesterday or 3 months ago because it's so hard to, like, understand, like, what happened when. And also, at the end of the day, it's Instagram.
It's Instagram. And also, too, Instagram glitches all the fucking time. Like, I don't know. If you look at, I don't know who I'm following and unfollowing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what Instagram's showing me, what's happening here or there or whatever. Like,
I just don't think there's enough proof.
It just shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I just don't think there's enough proof for someone to be like, no, he unfollowed him because of this. Like,
you know
don't
what I smell
know
here,
that.
Gia? You know what I smell here? What? Justin Baldoni's PR team. And I'm dead fucking serious.
No, and I know you are.
Because you know what it ended up being. It ended up turning
into... Well, I'm sure they're pushing that for sure.
Of course. But that's the thing is like,
like they're probably the insider page six.
It's because of, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's because of Blake and Ryan and they're on the Time 100 carpet and they're acting like nothing's wrong. Do you see the other things being like Blake in the fashion faux posh? First of all, she's wearing the most beautiful dress I've ever seen.
Yeah, I like that.
Everyone
dress.
Loves it. Literally everyone in the comments is like, damn, Blake looks good. Like even the haters. And then they're making headlines, page six, saying... Fashion faux pas, Blake's body makeup all over her dress. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
The media loves to tear down a woman that's already being kicked.
No, it's crazy.
It's really sad.
It really is.
They just love to kick women while they're already down, and it's exhausting. Mm-mm-mm. It's like, and I saw that she like took her mom to the red carpet or something for like one of the Simple Favor premieres or something. Maybe it was the Time 100 thing. I don't remember. But she like brought her mom.
They were like
course,
one day after like, another. Yeah.
Blake Lively's using her mom for sympathy.
That was
blah,
the Time
blah,
100.
Blah. Like, okay.
Oh, my God.
I forgot that you're not supposed to have a relationship with your mom.
I am so glad you brought that up because Gia, I was so disgusted. I was drunk commenting. It might have been after the wedding I saw this. Because the Time 100 gala was last week. Congrats to Nikki Glaser, by the way.
Oh, congrats to Nikki Glaser.
Congrats to Nikki. Blake was there as well on the list.
Yeah.
And she brought her mother. She brought Ryan. They're sitting at the table. She had a moment where she could, like, speak. And she said that she's like, I'm not going to get into everything going on with, like, me and my... Did you see this speech?
No.
She's like, I'm not going to get into, like, everything that's happening in my life and whatever because it's not the time. It's not appropriate.
Mm.
She's like, however, my mother is here. And she told the story about how her mother, who was also, like... either an actress or worked in business or something in her life, whatever. She was assaulted by a coworker and she went through hell and no one believed her and all this shit was going on. And she was like, and I'm doing what I'm doing for myself, for my mother and for other women and whatever. And it was like, again, she didn't go into detail. She didn't even really say like, I'm doing this for myself.
Yeah.
Like it was completely about her mom and what her mom overcame and what her mom went through. And it was like, and it's just something near and dear to my heart. Like it was a really thoughtful, heartfelt speech about her mother. It just so happens to do with stuff that's going on in her own life.
Yeah.
And the comments were like using her mother for clout, using her mother to prove her point. Wow, how low can you stoop? Propping up your, bring your mother as a prop to further your agenda. Makes me fucking sick, Gia. And at what, when are we gonna open our eyes to this? When are we gonna open our eyes to the fact that this woman is being chastised in a way that I have not seen since
like,
Amber
none
Heard.
Of us even know what's real and what, again,
no one knows what's
know,
real and what's
yeah.
fake, and it's just fucked up the way that people are talking. And I know that, like, you know, comment sections, I don't know what to believe, like if that's a reflection of reality, but it makes me sick. And I literally commented, like, people in the comments should be ashamed. You all make me sick. Like,
no,
I was commenting,
I mean,
shit
yeah.
like that. So if you guys see me going rogue in the comments, standing up for Blake Lively, like, I am. Like, yeah. I'm out here doing it because that was a sweet moment. It was not a pick-me moment. It wasn't even filmed. Like, someone was just taking a video from their phone from up in the rafters. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't a live, you know what I mean? Like, she
yeah.
wasn't looking for publicity. It's just, ugh. Ugh. I gotta calm down.
No,
it makes me so sick.
It's
the whole
sad.
Thing makes me sick.
It's like so. It's like an inescapable thing for her right now. So
it really is.
It sucks that she can't even do
and fuck
one
Page
thing
Six.
With her
Continue,
mom.
Continually fuck Page Six. I hate Page Six.
Yeah,
hate and the New York Post.
Yeah, they just hammer beating a dead horse for sure.
Constantly.
Especially when
with everybody, with
yeah,
everyone.
When we don't know what the truth is, we don't know what the tea is. It is crazy though that Taylor and Hugh Jackman are getting subpoenaed.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that. So yeah, or is that confirmed? Or it's like they'll likely be. I think that's what they were. What
I
that thing said.
Thought that Chicks in the Office like headline was like she is gonna be subpoenaed. Oh no,
I thought it was like an alleged. Yeah.
Could
subpoenaed.
Be subpoenaed. Taylor
Which
Swift,
I mean,
Hugh Jackman could be subpoenaed.
People
okay.
said that. People said that at the time because
okay, that was confusing because
yeah,
I thought that
she was like literally getting
Chicks
subpoenaed.
Chicks in the Office. Posting fake news.
No, they're but they did post like it's all about the wording choice. Like you gotta
right.
be real careful with the words. But that's again, that's you know media literacy. You have to make sure that people if they throw an allegedly in there,
it says
possibly
Taylor Swift
could be
and Hugh Jackman to be subpoenaed in Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni case. Chicks in the
Office.
Oh, Chicks
in the Office says that
via Entertainment Tonight.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a trusted source as well.
Let me see. Hold on. Entertainment Tonight.
Huh. Because I thought it was like a will probably be, which does make sense because yes, whether we like it or not, whether they like it or not, because of all of the text messages that were like, you know, I guess subpoenaed.
Okay, but the Entertainment Tonight headline is Taylor Swift and Hugh Jackman expected to be subpoenaed.
Expected to be. Okay. And I also, I think that's fair. That's a fair thing to say. And
wait, what? I'm so confused because now the tweet says Taylor Swift and Hugh Jackman will be subpoenaed under oath in the end. It ends with us battle.
Hmm. And how recent is that? Is that still last
this
week?
This was 4/23/25. So a couple days ago.
Huh.
So what is it?
People? We don't know. Again, it's next March. So who the fuck
and
knows?
And then when I click on it, it's a video. Like who the hell's watching a video about an article?
I hate when they do that. I hate when they do that.
So annoying.
Regardless, I think that yeah, I'm not surprised by this. I think that we should expect to see that, and it's all because of these like text message things, and because of that story
yeah.
that Justin keeps bringing up about how Taylor or about how Taylor showed up at the house, and he
yeah.
thought it was like a coup essentially.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I think definitely. And Hugh Jackman's Ryan's best friend, so I think yes.
I think
we'll
see
Hugh
them both. Jackman had some stuff to do with it too, but
yeah.
like I mean, yeah, I guess we won't know until we know.
We won't know until we know, and I'll tell you what. Regardless of what has to be questions, what's said, and whatever, there's just no way that Taylor Swift gets on the stand and says something damning about her best friend. Like
yeah.
that's just no. Like she's not gonna lie, but she's also not gonna like fuck over her life. And I'm sure like she'll be up there and be like, I don't know. I was hanging out with my best friend and I showed up and her like business partner was there and we talked for 5 minutes and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I really like in my soul believe that that's the case, but we'll see. Who knows? Crazy shit.
Yeah. I can't really get a straight answer on if they will or if it's up in the air and if they're going to or not. So yeah, I guess we'll just have to see.
Cause we'll just
I
have
just
to
keep
see.
Seeing, is likely. And then I keep seeing they are. So we'll see.
Who knows? Moving on past that drama, we have a couple of things. One I actually want to bring up before we bring up Stagecoach. Ariana Grande is going to be testing out something that I think is interesting, and I think that is good for Swifties if it works.
Yeah.
I hope so. Let me scroll back to it. Here it is. Ariana Grande has teamed up with Spotify and will give fans who are among her biggest listeners the ability to purchase advance tickets for her tour. Now, I think that there are already like certain things in place. Like there's always whispers that if you connect your Spotify to your Ticketmaster, like that's already being done.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that's ever been true. Or also, if it has been, they've not been transparent about it. So this might be the first time that they're making it known that if you're Spotify, if you listen to an artist a lot, you moved up in the queue.
Yes. Also, like, again, I know I say this all the time, take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because there's been, like, no confirmation about it, and Ariana's never even announced a tour. And yeah. I'm pretty sure she said, like, there's no, like, I'm not touring.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I thought she's at the same.
Yeah, so.
Maybe she just means,
I don't
like,
know.
Future tours.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is great.
Yes.
Whoever made it. I don't know if someone just made this up, but, like, it would be.
I feel
be,
like it's been. An,
but
I,
they do that sometimes with, like, merch and stuff. Like,
right.
Like, with Role Model, like, I got an exclusive access. And with Taylor, too. Like, I got an exclusive, yeah. like, TTBD sweatshirt.
Right.
And Role Model, like, stuff like that. So I don't see why they can't do something like that. I mean, like.
It
At
seems
this
like it's
point,
on the horizon.
With concert tickets, they've yeah. gotten so messy, so crazy, mm-hmm. whatever, that, like, you would think that there should be some sort of perk for the real fans,
yeah.
the real listeners.
Totally.
So,
do you think, though, that there are any? Because I feel like seeing that, I was like, oh, that's exciting. But I do feel like there have been rumors for years that this is already a thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I wonder, but here's
maybe it's just an Ariana
step.
Fan hoping,
yeah, could be.
Manifesting it.
Could be. But here is another arm of that is if that's already been happening all along, it's like, okay, yes, it's going to the real fans that are truly listening to it all the time. Now, if we know that if we listen to Taylor Swift a certain amount, are people going to start, you
like,
know, streaming when they're not?
With the music off.
Right,
and,
exactly.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean?
Playing like, it on like 10 different devices.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Is that going to start happening? So maybe that could be, you know
I'm
what
sure
I mean?
There's
so
bots on Spotify too.
Definitely,
like, yeah.
definitely. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just feel like ticketing is such an interesting thing. And I wanted to talk about this too, but like Beyonce's tour, like people are kind of getting on Beyonce's grill for like not having a sold out tour. But I keep seeing all these, this misinformation with the tour, because people are like, oh, the tickets are so cheap and she still can't sell out.
Tickets
stadium.
Are not cheap.
I looked.
I'm going. Tickets are not cheap.
Tickets are not cheap.
I'm in like
tickets,
200
yeah.
level and they are not cheap.
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, I mean, sure, they're not
they
Eras
hard to get.
Tour. They're not Eras Tour level expensive,
no.
but they're not cheap at all. So I don't know where these. I think it's just like Beyonce haters, like
it
coming
must
out
be.
Of the woodwork trying to spread this. But like, for sure, her tour is not sold out. Like, if you look at Ticketmaster, like there's still a lot of seats available for like stadiums and show. And I think like LA, there's still seats available. But like, that is not a testament to Beyonce and like how she is as an artist. It's testament to Ticketmaster and the. Monopoly that they have over
for sure. But I also don't even think it's a reflection on Beyonce, and it's obviously not a reflection on her. I also don't really think that Ticketmaster is so much to blame for this one, except for the ticket prices being high, obviously. But she was just on tour for her Renaissance
for
album,
sure, yeah,
and then now she's on tour again a year later for another new album, Cowboy Carter. But here's the thing, like, the Eras Tour was basically a greatest hits Taylor Swift show,
yeah.
This is album specific. So Renaissance was, I didn't go to Renaissance tour because I didn't like Renaissance. I mean, I didn't dislike Renaissance, but it wasn't my favorite album. I would have gone for Lemonade, but I didn't go. Then now we've got Cowboy Carter. I didn't really care for that album either. I probably wouldn't go if I wasn't just like going with my friends. Like this is it's a totally different thing. And it's a shorter show. It's at MetLife that I'm going. But like, it's not a 3.5 hour show. It's not, you know,
the set list. I mean, I loved Cowboy Carter, so like I'm all in for it. I want to get tickets.
I'm getting more excited. I've listened to it. You now. Should. I've been listening
after the show. You said you didn't see like any clips of it yet or anything.
I missed it. I went to sleep early last night.
Dude. I mean, it just, I mean, compared really to what good. Katy Perry's doing right now, like, she's just absolutely blowing it out of the water. Beyonce, like, oh, she had Blue come back on. Blue's fucking killing it.
Blue's so good.
She's riding a bull.
I might not want to watch. I might want to be surprised.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm going in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm going Thursday, 29th.
So many good visuals and everything. In, you know, I'm comparing it to Katy Perry's tour right now because that's another huge tour going on.
We'll bring that up in a second.
Everything. Yeah. And this Cowboy Carter tour seems so intentional and artistic and planned and well thought out, whereas with the Lifetime tour, it just seems like a fucking hot garbage mess.
Gia, lately, I've been good, actually. I've been very good. I've cut out fast food almost entirely.
Wow.
I did slip up and have a little something the other day, but I really have been on it when it comes to making myself food at home, making quick meals, making myself well-rounded meals, and I have Marley Spoon to thank for that.
Yep.
Especially the quick meals. That's something that is important to me. I come home from work, and to be honest, like, People, we joke around. We work hard, blah, blah. All we do is talk on a microphone all day. It is exhausting to talk on a microphone all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go home, you just want to turn off your brain and do nothing.
Yep.
And the best way to make sure that you're eating right and doing all these things, but also taking care of yourself, your brain, everything, is just making sure that you have something ready for yourself to make easy, quick, healthy, delicious. Marley Spoon is always there for me.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the number one thing that we both love about Marley Spoon is that the fact that, you know, it doesn't take an hour or whatever to make these meals. They have the new 15-minute express recipes, which are exactly what they sound like, convenient, delicious, and is on the table in minutes. But they also have some great 20-minute options, too. And if you're really in a hurry, Marley Spoon has delicious, ready-to-heat meals. These are lifesavers when we don't feel like cooking, which is majority of the time for us.
Yeah.
So I really do like those 15-minute, those ready-to-heat, because you just pop them in the microwave, 15 minutes, kill. You feel like you just cooked a whole meal without all the external issues.
Mm-hmm.
So Marley Spoon is really great. And if you use our code TaylorWatch, you can get up to 26 meals for free. So this spring, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/TaylorWatch and use code TaylorWatch for up to 26 free meals. That's right, up to 26 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/TaylorWatch for up to 26 free meals. And make sure you use our promo code TaylorWatch so they know that we sent you. But yes, the hot garbage dumpster fire
Holy fuck.
The Lifetime's tour.
Gia, and I'm starting to get to the point where, well, I have several thoughts on this. Well, wait first. Beyonce, whatever, regardless, I'm excited for the tour. I think it's going to be great. I don't think that she needs to get, like, this isn't a, we need to take ourselves out of the mindset of Eras Tour and back into regular concerts.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
And there's just no need to be, like, ticket fucking, seat tracking every single one of her stadiums. Like,
stop.
It's Beyonce. Like, her and Taylor are good. Like,
there will always be asses and seats for Beyonce.
Exactly.
Whether it's every seat and every ass, who knows? It doesn't matter. There will always be asses and seats for Beyonce.
I just don't get the Beyonce hater, like the people that like fucking
also,
hate her.
Also, if someone just went to Renaissance last year, they're probably not going to go to Cowboy Carter this
year.
Yeah, totally. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't go to... So
yeah.
It's just people are so dumb with this. But yes, so we have to bring up... The pile on continues for Katy Perry. Katy Perry has started her Lifetime's tour, which we said last week is basically a low key ripoff of Eras Tour, Renaissance, Sabrina's tour, every tour you've seen in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Katy Perry is reheating the nachos. She's on stage, and
Olivia Rodrigo's tour.
Yes, Gia, I'm really genuinely starting to think that someone is blackmailing her into doing this. Someone is rooting for her to fail.
Mm.
Someone is forcing her to do these things that make her look stupid. Is it a humiliation ritual? Is it? That's how bad this is. Every clip I've seen is so bad. And even her, did you see that clip of her? I don't even know what song it was. It was like a deep cut Katy Perry song where she was like emotionally performing it and crying on stage or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, set that woman free. I'm now like something is wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to fall into that. I swear.
I'm kind of on the opposite end.
Because I can't believe that Katie is really thinking this is normal and cool.
See, I think that she has lost touch with reality so much.
You think?
That she thinks that this is, I think that she thought that this would be like the revival of her career solely because, listen, and you're right. When I saw that clip of her crying,
Yeah.
Someone explained it perfectly in a tweet. They're like, the younger me feels bad for her.
Yes.
Because I used to love Katy Perry. Same. One of the Boys, a Teenage Dream. Amazing album.
I love Katy
Perry. Defined our youth.
Yes. I kissed
the
a girl.
The older me now has, I have no sympathy for her anymore. No. Because it really, like, feels like, to me at least, that she just has been digging her own grave slowly but surely. And maybe it is someone in her camp telling her to make all these terrible PR moves. But at a certain point, you got to recognize that you're going down the wrong path. And
yes.
Somebody in your camp's doing that. So I think at this point, it has to be her who's writing these off, making these decisions. Because it's like one after another of these terrible things that she's doing, whether it's, you know, taking homes from the elderly, or
the Blue Origin trip.
The Blue Origin trip. It's
the
really
concert, though. But you
working
have to
with
see
Dr. Luke.
Working with Dr. Luke.
It's just these. It's one thing after another, and I honestly think that this tour is kind of her comeuppance, her karma.
It has to be like that. It's either that. It's Katy Perry's karma, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you haven't seen clips from the Lifetime tour, seek them out. Because you have to see them to truly understand how we're talking about this right now. It is
some of the worst shit
I have ever seen. Like, the performances are terrible. The graphics are terrible.
They're using AI graphics.
It's almost like they're trying to, like, appeal to the Roblox generation. Like, it's almost like she went to the Travis Scott School of Music and they want the kids now. It's not her audience. It's not her people
to come to the Lifetime tour. Yeah, none of it feels intentional. Everything feels
like it was
a last.
Do you agree?
Everything feels like it was last minute put together.
Yes.
The costumes, the dancing, the choreography, everything about it just seems so cheap and fake and inauthentic. And yeah, I just
break down to her wigs. Her hair. What the fuck are they doing to her?
Terrible.
So bad.
Terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Like, could this be? Like, I, you know, if I'm thinking outside of it, and I really don't want to blame Katy Perry, like, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't want to blame her. I do blame her. But if I'm thinking, I don't want to blame her, there has to be something else going on. Like, do we think that she is just, she, like, you know, that she's, like, lost all of her creative rights?
I mean, after?
Like, are they like, you have to do this, and this? Because you know why I'm feeling this? Did you watch The Idol? I think I'm the only person on earth that watched
that show. I watched it, yeah.
Oh, you watched it too?
Yeah.
You know how Lily Rose Depp had to do that shit even though she didn't want to?
Yes.
I'm like, it has to be something like that.
I feel like she's so established in her career at this point. Like, maybe
she could just be like, fuck this, I'm not doing it. Maybe she's in debt?
Maybe.
She's got to be in debt.
Maybe something like that, because I feel like she's too established as a artist to have people telling her what to do and her not being able to disagree or agree with it, because, like,
totally agree.
She's such a big name that, like, that would be crazy to me. But yes, I feel like there has to be, if we want to justify her behavior and all this stuff, then there has to be something that's going on.
There has to be something.
But all of the external things outside of the tour, the taking advantage of old people, the Dr. Luke thing, the fact that she was so woody doodah, dipsy doodah during the whole Blue Origin thing. Like, I choose love.
Well, did you see?
It's
like,
okay, though,
she's
kind of lost her marbles.
Did you see what she said about it? She regrets, but she has it all in the totally wrong way.
Mm.
She regrets going. She regrets bringing the flower with her. She thinks, like, oh no. And she said that she wishes that they never showed the footage from inside the capsule or whatever. And I was like, Katie, you're still missing the whole point. We don't care that you look like a doopsie doo in space.
Yeah.
We care that you pretended like you were a feminist doing things one large step for women. That's what we care about.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck if you looked like you were high as balls in space. Like, I that's not what I care. The Daisy did not bother me. Like, you know what I mean? But of course,
it was the way
she sees the people making fun of that and thinks that that's the problem and that's what took away from it. It's like, no, bitch, again, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
So what, right.
It's
like,
just, it's unfortunate.
What's the fucking deal?
Like, everybody's talking about it and it just seems like such a mess.
Yes.
That I would honestly be shocked if this tour continues.
I would be shocked too.
And I'm like the fact that she's going to, like, Madison Square Garden for one night.
Bro, what? Like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Also, though, like, agreed, I would be shocked if it continues. And I just wonder, not only that it's embarrassing, but, like, she should just cancel the fucking tour. Like, cancel the tour.
This
it's
is gonna
done.
Ruin the tour.
It's the tour is ruined.
Yeah,
the tour is already
the world
ruined.
Tour
we
is
saw
ruined.
Clips and it's fucking ruined, girl. Like, this is it is so bad.
Yeah,
and like,
it's unfortunate.
At what point do you right? And you're right. At what point does she say to herself, "I'm done being humiliated. I'm done trying to be someone that I'm not.
Yeah.
This is who I am," and just be "I Kissed a Girl" Katy Perry again.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you know what
I mean? And that's the thing. I feel like she tried to make this, you know, the Lifetimes album, the rebrand, whatever. She tried to really, and we talked about this in the beginning when she, like, announced this whole rebrand, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, like, she's trying to dip into this, like, Gen Z idea, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's, like, she's kind of past that, and it seems like she's trying to, like, hold on to this youthful, like, sexy vibe, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of like, okay, that's, like, this weird path. And then mm-hmm. I thought that she was going to, you know, reheat her own nachos
yeah.
when it comes to, like, Teenage Dream and stuff. And then,
which would have been fine.
Yeah, and then, you know, everyone finds out that she's working with Dr. Luke again, and the music still fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, you know, catapulted into this whole thing. And I think from the get-go, from the start of, like, oh, I'm going to be doing this whole rebrand, whatever, it just was not the correct PR move.
No.
And yeah.
There's just some, you just, she clearly is not surrounded by people who respect or care about her.
Yeah.
And I think it must just be yes men all around telling her that everything she says, it's either that. It's either everyone around telling her what to do and she can't do anything about it, or everyone around telling her, yes, 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 Katy,
you're
a genius.
You're a genius, yeah.
And it's the exact opposite
yeah.
of that. And I will say this, like, I feel bad having this conversation because we just talked about how media loves to pile on women who are already getting kicked while they're down, and Katie's getting kicked in the fucking face right now,
but
for
that's
sure.
Yeah, that's
but,
what I'm saying.
But again,
like, it's almost karma, like.
Right, like, it is a mess of her own making.
Yes.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
And so, and it's just like, what do you say past that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't
and
know.
Like, I don't.
I want to hope that she's just being held hostage to do this
yeah.
fucked up,
like, I don't
stupid
want, I don't
shit.
Want her to have this tour that, like, is so awful. Like,
neither
I don't,
do
I don't like that
she
she's
Taylor made up
going through this. Yeah, no,
with
for
her.
Sure. Like, I don't, it's just like,
outside
it
of
really, to me, it just feels like all of, you know, it's kind of like the repercussions for her actions.
Yep.
Almost in a way. Like,
yeah.
all of your actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think for her, the consequences are that she just doesn't have the love and the fan base that she used to have because of her mistreatment of other people.
Yes. I agree completely.
Yeah.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. Like, I don't know. It's a train wreck, though.
Yeah,
like,
it's
it
a
really
train wreck.
Is. Like, you got, if you haven't seen anything, I'm sure you have. It's like,
like,
everywhere.
It kind of made me want to buy tickets just so I could see.
Just
it in
to see what a fucking mess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
God, it's just.
But then I looked at tickets and they're kind of expensive too.
I know, which of course, always. Well, if people are going to spend money, they're going
to
spend money.
Yeah, that's why you got to go to Game Time.
Got to go to Game Time. Always got to go to Game Time.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey, more performers. She's crushing it.
Yeah.
She's crushing it at Stagecoach. Everyone was thrilled about it. She had a funny little
57.5 million listeners on Spotify.
Did she sing it? No, I didn't.
She, like,
that.
Debuted. That's, and that's the song where she said that she kissed Morgan Wallen.
So right. So that was the question, because I'm not up on her new stuff. Mm. Does she?
So I guess she debuted a new song,
yes,
at Stagecoach.
Yes.
It's called 57.5. Really catchy. It's been stuck in my head since I watched
Hell
the clip.
Hell yeah. I gotta listen.
Yeah.
I only saw the clip where she was talking. I didn't hear the song.
And then, you know, she gets to the bridge and she goes, "This is the one time I'm going to say this line." And then she gets into, "I kissed Morgan Wallen." And, like, I guess kissing me went to his head.
Yes.
And then it's like, you shouldn't go ATV, or, like, don't go ATVing with him if he asks,
yeah,
you out west, or
yes,
something like that.
Yes.
And you could hear everyone in the crowd was like,
what the,
like,
hell?
What,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
she saying right now?
What the hell?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, nobody gets around like quite like Morgan Wallen.
Truly.
I'll tell you that.
And I thought it was really funny how she, like, kind of, like, started, like, talk singing. So she's like, mm-hmm, I'm going to say this once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're going to hear it from me. And, yeah, I mean, I love, anytime someone throws shade at Morgan Wallen, I'm all there for it.
All there for it. In and out, all over it. And, of course, Lana is now happily married to her man in,
yes,
Louisiana.
Yes, and she had, I don't know if it was in the same song or in a different song, but she sang another song where she talked about her bayou man.
Ooh.
How she's in love, all
this
stuff.
You know what?
Stuff.
Good for her. Oh. That was such a crazy thing.
She also looked
thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, she looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was such a crazy thing when we saw that, like, or when we heard about them getting married. Everyone thought it was like some crazy shit that would end in 2 weeks or whatever. They're going strong. It's been a while.
She loves a rugged man, you know, like a man that has dirt on his under his fingernails after a long day. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
And she's been like that since like I've known her since I was 13, and I thought that I needed to marry a 50-year-old man on a motorcycle.
Of course.
Yeah.
And who among us at this point? You know what I mean? Who among
us? Who wasn't scrolling Tumblr or listening to video games thinking that you had to marry a 65-year-old man?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. And she's always had that type. You know, she dated that, like, the guy who was, like, the prison cop.
Yes.
Like, she loves...
She loves a blue-collar man.
Exactly.
She loves a blue-collar man.
So as long as she's happy, I'm happy for her.
Me too. And, yes, very, very funny, very funny slight towards Morgan. Yeah. Sorry to the fans. Whatever. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't care about the Morgan Wallen fans.
The fact that Lana Del Rey and Morgan Wallen kissed... That just shows that you never know what's
you never
going
know.
On in the celebrity world.
You never know. I would like a date on when that happened.
April 29th, maybe?
April 29th, possibly. Last couple of things. Olivia Rodrigo, new album coming in the next couple of months.
Yes. That's what people Billboard are saying. Mm-hmm. said that Olivia Rodrigo's new album is like in the process of being finalized,
yep.
Something along that
that's just
nature.
What it says. It says in the final production and process, and will release in the next couple of months. So I would say summer. I think that's a safe bet for Olivia album.
Yeah, it's like I feel like she just came out with that. When did Sour or Guts come out? Like last
Guts
summer
came out
or two summers
two
ago?
Two summers ago.
Okay, so yeah, it has been a minute. It has
but
been
I'm
a minute.
Curious about Olivia if she'll change up the sound because Guts and Sour same albums could be sisters.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that's similar. I'm not talking shit. I love both those albums, but they're extremely similar sound. So we'll have to see.
It's like, you know, getting these Twitter sources, I'm always like, is this real or not?
I know. Well, the one that I saw that was like
this
is it was
yeah, it
legit.
Said, like, Billboard says, Billboard reveals, but like it Pop Tings again. Like what?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Pop Tings. But Pop Tings said the same thing about Ariana too. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, yeah, it just says Billboard reveals Olivia Rodrigo's on third story studio album. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, and she's been killing it. She's been like doing all the headliners for like a bunch of different festivals. Mm-hmm. She's kind of on a festival leg right now
in other countries.
Been looking like a baddie.
She does look like a baddie. Yeah. I love the outfit. She looks great.
She was running around.
She's young and hot, you know.
Oh yeah,
she's
totally
great.
She was running around Washington Square Park this weekend or last weekend listening to What Was That. She posted a video.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Good for her. I love
I
that.
I was like, damn, like no one knows that she's there. It's crazy.
Wow, that is so nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, she's another one who can kind of, well, she looks so young to me. Like, when she's not all dolled up, I don't think I'd recognize her. You know what I mean? Like, she's just so, like, when she's, like, no makeup on and her hair, she just looks like a kid running around to me.
Yeah.
So I feel like she doesn't, I would never recognize her, probably, unless I was really looking at her. Also, Noah Wiley, star of The Pit.
I love him.
And ER, previously, for the older ladies in the room. Big Swiftie.
Yes.
Says that he plays Taylor Swift and he drops
his
daughter,
kids.
Yeah. Daughter, I think.
Her daughter. Daughter.
Yeah. I don't know if it's one daughter, two daughters, kids, et cetera, whatever it is. They listen to Taylor Swift on the way to school. And Noah says that he doesn't turn it off when they get out of the car. Keeps
listening. I love him. Love The Pit.
Love him
Noah.
Too.
He's
love The
so
Pit. Love
great.
Him. Noah's he's an old school heartthrob who's coming back around being a heartthrob again.
Yeah. I'm
when
I'm
you
happy
get a second
him.
A second lease on Heartthrob Life, you know who else did that? It's Josh Hartnett. Second lease
totally,
on Heartthrob Life.
Totally.
Now he's just like a hunky hot guy, you know? Which so is Noah, I think.
Yeah, he's so cute. I love him.
And then last but certainly not least on the
certainly
list.
Certainly not least.
Robert Irwin. Congratulations.
Sexy.
Being on Dancing with So sexy,
like,
please. Being
that video of him, yes, literally, I will be sad.
Round of applause.
I'm already seated.
I'm already sad. But we're bringing it up because I know you're a big Dancing with the Stars fan. I know Fran is as well. And I actually am a big Robert Irwin fan. I'm a big Irwin family
huge
fan.
You know, I met him.
You met Robert Irwin?
Yeah, when I worked at the zoo. When I volunteered at the Australia Zoo.
No, how old was he? Like a child?
He's 3 years younger than me, I think. So yeah, I was 16 and he was like, like 12 maybe
that's
or 13.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so
and
crazy.
And at the time, like, like I was 16, 17. So like I was just meeting this little boy.
Of course.
So I was like,
I would
oh, cool.
be so starstruck by the Irwins. Like if Bindi walked in here right now,
oh
I'd lose
God.
My mind.
I mean, if I saw Robert right now, I would die dead.
Well, Robert
die.
Is, you know, he's whatever. I was dying. he had a clip, or he said something along the lines of like, yeah, of course I'm doing a photo shoot with my shirt off. Like, I'm the best I've ever looked. Why wouldn't I?
No, I was like,
go off. No, like, he's like, I worked really hard to like look like this for this like photo shoot and whatever. And like, it's working for me. And now he's going to Dancing with the Stars, which people forget that Bindi won Dancing with the Stars.
Years ago
with partner Derek Hough. So Robert coming back, it's actually 10 years exactly. It's 10 years ago, Bindi won. And so now Robert's coming through to snatch that mirror ball up for himself. And he gave a little speech or gave a little thing and said, like, I remember watching Bindi compete, thinking how impressed and proud I was, and thinking that one day I wanted to try to do the same thing. Like, I really wanted to get the dedication going and, you know, really commit and try to do as well as my sister. Mm. And I thought that was just the sweetest thing. And so that's what's going on with him.
Yeah, I'm very excited for him. He was shirtless when they announced it. Mm-hmm. They called him up. He was wearing a snake.
Yep.
I was like, I'm all in for this guy. He's looking
good. I hope he's got snakes on every performance.
Me too.
I love it. Love it.
You know what is going to hit? Ooh. The dedication dance.
Big time. Oh my God, it's gonna hit so hard. I bet he'll dedicate it to his sister, though.
You think
so? Or
maybe
his mom.
Or maybe just his fam. Just the whole family.
Maybe just the fam. Yeah. I only say sister because she was a part of it.
That's true.
And, you know, but either way, obviously dad
will be crying like a baby.
Absolutely. So, yeah, just something to keep on the horizon.
Something that just popped up on my Twitter.
Oh?
It says Ed Sheeran shares old photo with Louis Tomlinson, Calvin Harris, Taylor Swift, and Niall Horan.
Aww.
Via Teddy's old phone. And it's like the four of them.
Let me see.
And then scroll or like slide to the left or whatever. It's a jam.
Yo, Ed, I'm really happy for you and I'm going to let you finish. But this is the best jam of all time.
Taylor made. Isn't
that's
that funny?
Hilarious.
Yeah. So Taylor
from
made
his old phone, and
jam.
She's wearing that. Oh, this was a VMA's after party. She's wearing that white outfit she wore. Yeah, I know this outfit.
Okay.
Let me look. I think it's a VMA's white jumpsuit.
Right, the
it
white
was.
Jumpsuit. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Let's see.
That's
Taylor
really funny.
Swift white jumpsuit.
Yeah. Why is he posting this right now?
Oh no, sorry. It was the Billboard Music Awards 2015. So that was 2015. That night.
Right, that makes sense.
Yep. And it makes sense they were all there.
Wait, and I love that she
that's hilarious.
Is making the jam, making like
that is so funny.
Jokes.
That is so funny.
But this
let's
is the best
go.
Jam of all time.
Let's
I love that.
Go.
But I'm confused because now I'm looking at his Instagram, Teddy's old phone. Oh wait, you know what? It says Teddy's old phone on X. Or at Teddy's old phone?
Well,
I'm
remember
where
he
they got this picture because
no,
I'm
no,
not seeing it on his.
Gee, remember he? Oh, true, right. But remember he is just going through his old phone.
Yes. I know that. But then it says, like the Instagram Teddy's old phone is where they're saying they got the picture of. But like he, it's not there. I don't see it, so I don't understand where they got the pictures from. But I'm confused.
Regardless, I'm happy to have it.
Wait, look how cute they look
God.
In this pic.
Babies. They look so young.
So
Red
young.
Tour.
Yeah.
So cute. So sweet.
Very
wow,
cute.
Wow, how fun. How exciting.
So,
I
wonder where they got these pictures from.
2015, we're making jokes. I'm going to let you finish, but this is the best jam of all
time.
Yeah,
I'm happy that that's super funny. I love that she was doing that back then because, the only way to kind of make light of a trauma situation sometimes is to make a joke. And someone said, he's really posting this picture on April 29th. What is his problem?
No, it's so good,
that's
by
so
the way.
Funny.
It's so good. I wonder if he's doing that on purpose. Obsessed.
Yes.
Well, all right. I think that is about all. I think. And if we missed anything, luckily, we're recording again tomorrow.
Yes.
So we will thank you guys for being patient for the episode. If you would like to call in to our to leave a voicemail or to leave a message, you can at
347-450-0723. 347-450-0723.
You can call in, leave a voicemail on that number. You can also text that number if you're feeling shy, but we'd love to hear your voices. Please go ahead and follow us on our Instagram, at TaylorWatch. Same thing on TikTok. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please comment nice things. Subscribe to us on like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, all the above, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
We love you guys so much. And if we miss anything, I feel like we had so much going on in the last week, Taylor-wise. So if we miss something, we'll catch up on it on our Thursday episode.
Yeah, for sure.
See you later.
Love you guys.
Love you.